the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome back to On the Edge, Brains, hiring and empowering solutions mastermind Molly McGrath is on the edge with us. Since the late 90s, Molly has coached, consulted, and directed presidents and founders of national organizations and over 400 law firms in executive-level leadership, continuous improvement, and team empowerment initiatives. Molly has 20 years of specific skill set experience in conversation intelligence coaching, team development, and empowerment for the entrepreneur, and acquiring talent. She's an author and a podcaster, and she's done all these amazing things without a degree. We're going to talk to her about that and so much more here on The Edge. Brains, get ready to level up as we welcome our guest, Molly McGrath, to The Edge. Hello, how are you?
Hello, thank you for having me, April.
Oh, I'm so excited. I always love to have another podcaster on there because we are giving innovative, cutting-edge, sharp, snappy information, and you are one of them. Tell my brains a little bit about your journey and your history. You have such an incredible story.
Ah, yes. Wow. So my journey starts with I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and I was enrolled in college and really floundering and not sure what I wanted to do. And during that time, my father had opened up a Irish tavern and said he needed somebody to come and work there. So my siblings, some of my older siblings were working there. I started working there and realized very, very quickly after working two shifts of bartending and waitressing, what have you, that I was making more money than most of my friends that had a four-year degree and were in psychology or attorneys and struggling to find work. And so I realized quickly that college wasn't for me. And I made the decision to drop out. I got a full-time job in city government as well as working in my father's tavern and making a tremendous amount of money at a very young age of 21 years old. And through that process, my father decided after 8 years of working in, or owning the tavern, that he was ready to retire and sell it. He never worked a day in the business. He bought it for his retirement. He was a budding entrepreneur. And he said, okay, guys, I'm out. I'm ready to retire. It's for you. I'm one of six kids, Irish Catholic family. And my siblings were like, nope, you know, we've done this for 7-8 years and we're going to go start a family. We don't, you know, we don't really want to own a restaurant after being in that. And through that, I found myself at a precipice, at really a crossroads where I said, what do I want to do? And at that time, I had friends that lived out in Colorado, and I made the decision in my government job. I had a year leave of absence that I could take and come back and still have my cushy job with benefits and what have you. So I really had no risk. I decided that right. I didn't want to take over the tavern. And got in the car and headed out west and went to Denver and landed a job probably 3 days after being here, after back then when you would apply for a job through the newspaper. And I landed in Oregon, yeah, if anyone can remember that. And I landed a job in a legal organization that provided coaching and software and training for estate and elder law attorneys. Way back when coaching wasn't even a street term 22 years ago, nobody really spoke of coaching. And after being in that organization for less than 30 days, I had a year that I could keep my job and I didn't have to retire or do anything. And I resigned from my government job and I just felt it in my bones that this was my calling to work with attorneys.
Well, and you also had a great mentor. someone that really kind of took you under their wing and their tutelage because they saw something in you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. And it's really fascinating and just life-altering when you are able to run into somebody that sees something in you and they're able to take you under their wing and help you to harness that and to really evolve and grow with it. So there was a national coach. Again, coaching wasn't a street term back then. He was coaching estate planning and elder law attorneys just launching a program. We were at a national conference, and there were a couple of us there that were members of the organization, and we were there just to do event planning and staff the job. And after having a conversation with him, I'll never forget, because he said to me, looked me square in the eyes and said to me, "I don't know who told you that you weren't worth anything and that you didn't have what it takes, but I see it in you. So if you're willing to put your seatbelt on and do the work, I will give you every tool that you need to set you up for success and to increase your confidence and to step into the greatness that I see in you."
I get chills. You know, you and I have a very like-mind synergy there. I have made a whole lot of money. I've had numerous careers. I've been able to springboard from one industry to another, technology to nonprofit to retail to brand ambassador, and now being a very successful entrepreneur. And I don't have a college degree either. Sometimes when people are having this conversation, there's a certain amount of shame and trepidation. I know when we first talked, I could hear you kind of dial back a little bit. There is no shame in not having a degree, Brains. I want you to know that. I am a firm believer in the Jamaican proverb that says you can have as many degrees as a thermometer and still not know what temperature it is. When you are looking at an application, when you're looking at an application, you see three or four lines that ask you, what is your education? And you see about 20 lines that ask you your experience. You have to have some experience. You've got to have some wherewithal. You got to be swift and quick. You've got to be able to speak up for yourself. You've got to be able to network. There is a lot of skill and technique that it takes to rise to an executive level without a degree. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your feelings about that and some of the conversations that you've had to dodge and have with people not having that degree, but yet and still climbing the ladder and working with top-notch lawyers.
It's fascinating because I'm finally really understanding the lesson in this, that I am coaching and consulting and hiring and for attorneys, the top intellect in any profession across the nation. And I've been doing this for 22 years. And truly, it really wasn't until about 2 years ago that I finally, like, claimed my stake and held my head high in that. As you said, you and I talked about this extensively when we first met. I had a tremendous amount of shame in regards to not being college educated, not having a degree, especially working with people that have more degree in industry that have more degree than most. And I would downplay it. I would skirt the conversation. I would have shame around it. I would talk about that I did enroll into college, but I never really, I really skirted the conversation around versus holding my head high like Tony Robbins and many famous people do and say, absolutely, I do not have a degree, but here's why I'm the expert. So for a long time, I walked around with imposter syndrome where I had published 2 books. I had over 1,400 national law firms under my belt that truly do not make a decision without speaking to me and getting my sound advice on that. I had built 3 national organizations, and 2 of them I had sold, and 1 of them I bought my partner out, and I'm the sole owner. I've launched a podcast. I've been blogging since 2008, and our open rate, click-through rate, it's extraordinary. The people that reply and say, it's like you have a camera inside my head. You're brilliant. And I didn't own it. I wouldn't own it. It wasn't until working very, very hard with my coaches, I have several coaches that I work with on a monthly basis, from a life coach to a business coach to an energy coach. It's probably my highest line item on my P&L of investing in that. And I knew that I could work on strategy all day long on how to get more leads, how to get more business, what have you. But if I didn't fix my mindset and I didn't own in my bones that I was an expert, like truly in every fiber of my being, and
right.
proclaim it with my head held high, I was never going to get over that tipping point. I was never going to receive full success, my definition of it, until I believed that I was worthy of it. And I really could say that I was an expert. So I've worked hard on that the past couple of years. And once I was able to say that I'm not college educated, that I do not have a degree and not have any but or any kind of downplaying of my tonality, my voice, or anything, but be so excited about it. It wasn't until that point that my business took a massive turn. And I really, truly, when I felt like I eradicated the shame
right.
and guilt around that.
And, you know, nowadays, again, this is not downplaying a degree. It's absolutely valuable. But you can buy a degree. I don't know how anybody gets through a physics class in 6 weeks for $1,500 online. Really? I'm not impressed with that. I'm impressed with someone that has practical application, that wants to get in there and get their hands dirty, that wants to learn. Okay? So if you don't have a college degree, Brains, don't have shame around that. We're going to talk a little bit more about the hiring and empowering, because I want Molly to give us some suggestions on how to have that conversation when you're in the interview. Let me tell you, I stand circles around them. They're like, wow, you should be on the other side of the table. I was never embarrassed. I was never ashamed. I always found, a little bit of an arrogance or a little pride to it, that I was able to be, you know, making six figures without a college degree, without having to, you know, be in so much debt, you know, doing things, having an art degree or in some field that I'm not going to have practical application. I was able to network and find a balance. So I commend you. Again, I think that it's hard out there in the world to find a job when you get out of college, but also you need to have internships. You need to have mentors. You need to go to classes. And I'm sure, and I know in many ways, there are classes and courses and teachers and mentors that you are using now and continue to stay abreast in your industry, what's going on. I mean, this stuff doesn't just fall from the sky. Because we haven't sat there for 4, 8, 12 years, we still are very in tune and in touch with what's going on. Now, you've created this powerhouse business, Hiring and Empowering Solutions. Tell us about that.
Yes. So it's interesting, because about 20 years ago, my then partner, Lainey, and I, we would go around the country and speak around team development. Our mentor that I spoke about earlier, he was in the room coaching the attorneys. We'd be in the room with them, and they'd say, wait a minute, how do we get a Molly? How do we get a Lainey? How can we clone you? And they had no idea what our resume, neither one of us had a college education. So they had no idea about our resume. They just assumed. And they said, I want somebody who walks, talks, and acts like you. And we would downplay it. We'd say, oh, you know, it's nothing. We're just being us. We're just human beings. And until we really realized that part of it was the nurturing from our mentor, but also part of it was just really our DNA and our nature. And when we started realizing that and started having some mastermind groups with other team members across the country, we created a program called the Team Empowerment Academy. The attorneys would be in one conference room having their work day, and then we would bring the team in another room. And through that, we realize we really, truly, there are so many people out there that are not being chosen, that are natural born leaders, that
right.
are what we call entrepreneurs in the entrepreneur world, and they're getting overlooked because of their resume. And so we've done wrote about this in our books, we've done podcasts and blogs about don't be seduced by the resume. Our hiring process is so unique that we actually talked to as many people as we could possible for a position. And I will tell you, 9 out of 10 people that we present to the law firms for final placements and for the top candidates and superstars are the ones that never in a million years would you talk to because of their resume. And the attorneys will say to us, give us the resumes before. We want to see them. And we say, nope, you're not seeing them. We want you to interview from the human side of things. We want you to interview from emotional intelligence, mindset, integrity. Those are the pieces that are very, very difficult to train. You can always train skills. You can always train industry-specific knowledge. But the human side of things, which most of us are in the personal service industry, I don't even care if you sell a product. You're selling relationship. You're selling connection. Right. And you're selling communication. And when we present them, they'll say, I don't know how you do what you do. There's no way in hell I would have ever called this person. But they're the exact person that I want because they just get it. They come with batteries included. They're a natural born leader.
Wow. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Again, you know, or a lot of times you see people that have had someone else create a resume for them, and they put these big $25 words in. And when you speak to that individual, you know good and well that they didn't write that interview. I mean, write that resume. Mm. And they're just there. They weren't prepped good for the interview. So, again, like you said, it is relationships. It's integrity. It's, you know, a willingness to learn and give someone a chance. So when people go to your company, what is a little bit of the process that you put the candidate through to prepare them and to question them to interview with these big high-profile companies?
Mm. So what we do is we, like I said, we talk to everybody that we possibly can. First and foremost, we do a phone interview with them, and we'll know within 5 minutes. Like I knew when I met you, that is the person who has integrity, ability to articulate, to communicate, bottom line things, not have all these fluffy words. Then we do a video interview with the candidate, and we'll prep them in regards to presentation, how they show up. Now, again, we're not trying to change them, but we'll articulate them and critique them in their language and their verbiage. If they're too wordy and they're unable to get to the point, things of that nature, we'll really coach them. And that's the most fascinating piece, because you would be surprised at how many people will get upset and defensive and get very reactive in that process, which is very telling, because we'll say, you're not a great candidate just because you're not open and coachable. Your resume is phenomenal. You presented very well, but when there's an opportunity for refinement, you shut down or you come off the hinges. So you're not a good candidate. And that, a lot of times, that's the tipping point where people really self-select out versus somebody who says, wow, thank you. I've had people say to me, you know what? I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting a job. You know, and our favorite thing to do is the impact. When we find someone who's a single mom, who has a great personality, great skill sets to offer, but they may not interview well. And when we are able to help people, and those are typically the people that are most coachable, and it breaks my heart when I hear them say, wow, thank you. I had no idea why I wasn't getting a job. And shame on these other employers and recruiters that will not grace people with some coaching to provide them, to help set them up for success. That's the thing
Let me interject right now. Because you know what else is cold-blooded? When people apply for jobs, they don't even respond to you anymore. They don't let you know we've selected another candidate. You know, maybe they don't want the pushback of why wasn't I selected and have to answer the questions. But when you have invested your time to interview someone, have them come into your office, sit down, you know, have a 20-30 minute conversation with them, exchange of information, the least I think that you can do is send them a letter saying that we have went with another candidate, you were great, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. You don't want to be subjected to a lawsuit and say, well, you know what, I didn't like you because you had green hair, you had tattoos on your arms and your face or something like that. I get that. But at least show people some sort of courtesy and dignity because they've invested their time and they're, you know, hanging on a hinge waiting to find out if they have the job or not. When did that come into play? I think that's awful sauce.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many candidates will say to us, thank you very much for responding. You would not believe how many people just, you know, the term they use is ghost. They just ghost you and you're left.
Yep.
That crushes a person's spirit. And,
yes,
you know, it really, it deflates them for going into an interview. We spend a lot of time, my recruiters spend so much time giving them a pep talk. Go in there, just be you. These are your strong suits. Say, you know, just show up like this. You got this. And then they debrief with them after of how do you think things went, things of that nature. What are areas for improvement? And we will give them feedback. We will say, are you open and coachable? Do you want the feedback? And we could say, you know, you whatever it might be. And a lot of times they're like, thank you very much for that. I'm sorry I didn't get the job, but I know that I'll land the next one because of the valuable insight you provided.
Right, right. And I think just that is so powerful. Thank you for that. Because, again, people are coachable. There's a lot of coaches out there that are still trainees, and they really think that they can, you know, make a transformation in someone's life, and they don't really have it together. So you have to be cautious of the people, brains that you let people, that you let pour into you, and the reason that they're pouring into you, and what is the ROI. And look at them. You know, again, look at me and Molly. We don't have degrees, but we are winning, okay? And you can win too. Another thing that you can win is a copy of one of Molly's books, The Entrepreneur in an Entrepreneur World, How to Empower Your Employees to Step Up and Lead. And the other one is Don't Be a Yes Chick, How to Stop Babysitting Your Boss, Transform Your Job, and Work with a Dream Team Without Losing Your Sanity or Your Spirit in the Process. Now, those are some heavy-duty titles, and I just put that on my Facebook page, and there's a lot of people clamoring to get those books. Tell us how they can get a copy of those and just a snippet of what's inside each one.
Sure, indeed. So you can get them either at our website, Hiring and Empowering Solutions, and there there'll be a PDF download, or if you're a hard copy person still, you can order a copy from Amazon. Of course, if any of your listeners would like a complimentary copy, a gift from me, I will gladly just shoot me an email, and
oh,
I
wow.
will send you a complimentary copy today for listening to our show.
That's wonderful.
So I'll just tell you real quick, Don't Be a Yes Chick, by and large, was written for the employees. And this really is a 12-step process in regards to, you can take it from either if you want to up-level in your position, get a raise, get a new title, what have you. Maybe you're somebody who's struggling in the interviewing process, what have you. Then this can support you with how to show up in an interview like a leader with some really powerful language and some KPIs, key performance indicators that you can bring that make you outshine from other candidates. The reason we picked this book title just quickly was because we, through all of our research with working with law firm employees, what we were finding was that all the attorneys and the entrepreneurs were going to all these fantastic conferences or attending podcasts, hearing about all these great business books, and they would buy them and throw them on their employees' desk, and it would land like, here's something to fix you. Read this book and implement everything and fix yourself. And we really wanted to write a title that caught the employees' eye, that was from their perspective. It didn't land like something to fix or change them. And everything in this book is written, and truly, if you're an entrepreneur, it's, we have entrepreneurs that read it as well. It's to help you to show up very safe and deeply curious and invested in your employee versus like the traditional employee model where it's about we're always on a performance plan. It's to eradicate that whole mindset of reviews and performance plan. And the Entrepreneurs and Entrepreneurs World is a smaller version, taking parts of that of Don't Be a Yes Chick are putting in the smaller version, the 70-page version of Don't Be a Yes Chick. And it's really the Cliff Notes, if you will, for somebody that is in a crisis mode of how to be able to save and retain and invest in an employee that might either be struggling, underperforming, or you have an inkling that they're about ready to walk out the door.
Right. And companies need to also realize, well, I don't have to tell them, I know they know, that retaining good employees is a must. The turnover, training new employees, getting them in, interviewing them, benefit packets, all of that is very costly. You lose time in production and performance. You haven't filled the position. I mean, look at the White House. Oops, did I say that? But anyway, it's a lot that goes into it. You know, and I do non-traditional stuff. I mean, I've done some quirky stuff. Like, really quickly, had an interview with this company. Interview went really well, and I wanted to nail it. So afterwards, I leave. I go get a cheesecake. I cut out a slice. I deliver the cheesecake back to the company with a note. On the note, it says, "The only slice that is missing is me." I got the job. Everybody can't do that.
Great.
Yeah, the only piece that was missing was me. And they loved it, you know. Now, it's not going to work for everybody, but I knew in my heart that I had to do something a little different to tip it over. The thank you note is always important. The follow-up, in the event if you have any additional questions, please contact me. If you don't hear from the company, you know, sometimes they have to put the position on hold. You've got to wait a little bit. Be patient. Follow up. Send an email. See if you get a response. But keep your motor running. Stay abreast of your industry, what's going on. Mentors, do informational interviews. I love that. I used to do that all the time. Hey, you know, with the CEO, can I get 15 minutes of your time just to see what you're doing and what this office feels like? Can I sit behind your desk? And I, you know, if you're working for the company, they love that because it's taking them out of that, you know, that head of the company and making them more humanized. Talk about your podcast. I love your podcast. I went in and I told you, you know, and you kind of giggled. I said, you got it, baby, because you interview great. You had great questions. Your guests were great. You were on time. You know, just everything, power, punch, performance, your voice inflection. I think it's awesome. Tell my brains about your podcast.
Yes. So our podcast is Hiring and Empowering Solutions. We launched in May of this year. And the whole premise of the podcast is for an employee as well as an employer. And the whole theme of the podcast, sometimes I'll interview employees, sometimes I'll interview employers or some trailblazers within the legal space, from marketing to coaching, et cetera. And it's all about how to really step into the leadership mindset and transforming the boss employee relationship, because they all want the same thing, but they're typically not speaking the same language. So the podcast is around everything from your people, your process, your profit, your energy, your communication, anything that would resolve into creating a culture. I'm very big on culture. And a lot of times business owners, entrepreneurs are just worried about the next strategy, the next strategic roadmap, the next blueprint, when they have a foundation that is built on toxic employees or lack of communication. I'm a very big person. If you follow up my podcast and or my blogs or read my books, I'm all about energy. And it's a lot of things that people negate. And it's the thundering silence that's rippling through the building and through the office that will take down the best strategy in the world.
Right. Relationship capital is big now. That's a big $25 word in corporate environments. And kindness. You know, learning to be kind and working with your employees. You know, they got other things going on outside of that strategic planning. They got the kids. They got the softball team. They got to cook dinner. Maybe they have an illness. You don't know what's going on inside of their head. And so we want to be tender. We want to be compassionate. You want to retain the best talent that you possibly can, because it's hard to find good qualified people. And especially if the market is doing good, it's really hard because people aren't leaving or you're paying top dollar. Either way, it's very important. So I want you brains to go in and definitely tune in to Hiring and Empowering Solutions, the podcast. Get the book. Follow Molly if you are in, you're in Colorado.
Correct. Yep.
So I want you to go and check it out. She can be omnipresent, okay? She can come out and speak to your groups because this is very, very important. And she's super smart. And on top of that, she's super pretty. So thank you so much for being here on the Edge with us. I value and I honor your time. And, girl, I am with you. Brains, if you have a college degree, you better learn how to work it. And if you don't, you better get in tune to it and get with somebody that can help you talk through the process to get you to level up, to get you the job that you want, because it is possible. There are people out there that will hire you. Don't feel bad. Don't feel shame. You got to have, as we say, a ghetto mentality and a street PhD. Ain't nothing wrong with the brain. The hustle is real on the edge. Thank you so much, Molly. Come back and visit me again too soon. Okay, baby?
Thank you for having me. Wonderful.
Bye, brains. Have a good day.